Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, good morning, Ben. I got your friend Mark Rolfing on the show today, analyst and commentator, NBC Sports and Golf Channel. Jonathan Wall's here with us, managing editor for equipment, and that's golf.com. Keith Hirschland, author, Murphy is his latest novel. He's also an award-winning live golf producer. And Bob Herrig, ESPN's going to wrap up the show with us today. The good news is that the trade winds are with us 15 to 25 miles per hour. The uncomfortable news is that we're going to have a high of 91 degrees today. So be sure to put on that sunscreen when you're out there playing. Makale has an 8:30. So does Poipu Bay on Kauai. Aroha Hawaiian Country Club has an 8:40. And they're really cooking over at Bayview. There's an 11 o'clock and a 12 o'clock. Busy at Bayview. The driving range open 8 to 9 p.m. 8 a.m., that is, except on Thursdays, 11 o'clock until 9 p.m. And Father's Day, child is free for dads, granddads, great-granddads. If you're going to go out and play around with your kid on Father's Day, that's the perfect place to go play. And what do you get for the father who has everything? Well, Aloha Power Equipment has what he really wants. This week, Aloha Power Equipment's Father's Day sale, the lowest prices of the year, up to 25% off the Shindaiwa and Maruyama products, and the Honda EU 2200i will be a doorbuster. Priced at $949, Aloha Power Equipment's Father's Day sale is June 15th through the 20th. Go to them between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. You can weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment's sale prices at both locations, Sand Island and Waipahu.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And now, Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel and NBC Sports. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Good morning, Danielle. How are you over on that island today?
We're doing pretty good, and we're really excited because it's really something to watch golf that you don't know the outcome of on television after 3 months.
You're watching too many old reruns, huh?
Yeah. I mean, they were great to see. Some of the ones, you know, with Tiger, you know, seeing him dominate many, many years ago like he did was, you know, you remember the roars. And it's like, wow, that's right. That was like incredible. But it's incredible what's happening at Colonial on this rather tight old school shot makers course, right? It's not really a long hitters course.
No, it's not really. The golf itself has been spectacular. I really did not expect, Danielle, the players to come out and be as sharp as they are. But, you know, this is the best field that Colonial has had in the history of the tournament. They have never, think about this, they've never had the top two players in the field at the same time, the top two in the world. And this year they have the top five. And I just think that's a real testimony to how important the players have felt that it is for them to get back on the playing field and for golf to kind of lead the way back for professional sports. I think it's been fabulous for golf.
Absolutely. And to see Harold Warner III at the top of the leaderboard. And at the end yesterday, we had Joseph Bramblett at the top of the leaderboard. Over on the Corn Ferry Tour, and just interesting. And what I loved what Harold Warner III said, about what was better, whether hitting all 18 greens in regulation in the first round or overcoming what must have been an incredible stumble, a triple bogey on his opening hole in the second. And he was asked which round was more satisfying. Interesting answer, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I really think that what he has done, yesterday was an incredible round of golf. He could have easily shot 74, 75 and shot himself out of the thing. The most amazing thing to me, though, for both Bramlett and Varner, Danielle, is if you think about them, there's only four African-American players on both of those tours combined, and here you've got two of them leading, one on each tour. And, you know, for Harold to have had such an emotional last few weeks dealing with all the social injustice discussion that he has been, and then to be able to come out and play the way he has really is a testimony to me. It's just how strong Harold is mentally, and what an amazing statement it would be if somehow Harold Varner could go on and win this tournament. You talk about some destiny, some fate. That would be, I don't know, that would be one of the great performances, I think, in the history of the PGA Tour.
Absolutely. When he said about which one was more satisfying, he said it was actually the second round, overcoming that triple bogey in the first hole and then coming back and still shooting a fabulous score. And it felt good, following that 63 with a 66. Amazing round of golf. And Jordan Spieth with a 65-65. Now, the question, of course, is Jordan teasing us or is this consistent going into the weekend? It's always, well, lately, it's kind of been his stumbling block.
Yeah, he's not been as good on the weekends. You're absolutely right about that, Danielle. I really think of all the players in the field, though, the one that benefited the most from this three-month break was Jordan Spieth. From time to time over the last couple of years in this slump that Jordan has been in, he's tried to take a month off here, 3 weeks off there. It kind of hasn't worked. I think one of the issues is he has become so dependent on his swing coach, Cameron McCormick. Earlier in his career, Jordan was not like that at all. He was a very natural kind of player. And then McCormick, started showing up at a lot of the tournaments, and he's pretty much everywhere Jordan is now. And I think at times a little too close. Jordan's become too technical in my mind. Mm-hmm. He's lost his natural instinct for the game. And I think this time off really did him a lot of good. And you think about the stumbling block he had yesterday. He four-putted from inside 3 feet.
Yes.
And then bogeyed the next hole at 4 and 5 yesterday and really bounced back nicely from that. I don't know. I'm not surprised that Jordan is playing well. Big question, though, can he hold up on the weekend? That's been his stumbling block.
And what he said was really cool. He said he has a lot more patience. He gives himself more grace. And everything is in a good place. Give myself more grace. It's like I'm not eating up myself inside. You didn't see after that four putt or after that bogey, you didn't see him lambasting himself the way he has in the past.
Yeah, or lambasting Michael Greller, the caddy. You know, he
yes.
tends to take it out on Greller a lot, too. Jordan is a tough guy. He is not easy on himself on the golf course. And I think it would do him some good to be a little nicer to himself out there. He is such a tremendously talented player, though. He is a great putter, besides that little hiccup they had yesterday. But you take a look at that leaderboard. It is absolutely a stacked leaderboard. It's just incredible to me, the quality of the talent that is at the top of that leaderboard. And I could name any one of a dozen guys, I think, that could still win this thing easily.
Oh, yeah. We're going into a fabulous weekend. With Harold Varner and Jordan Spieth and Bryson DeChambeau and Patrick Reed, Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, Rory McIlroy, Chase and Hadley. I mean, the list is long, and I haven't even gotten down to Brooks Koepka. But I'd like to talk just a little bit about Bryson DeChambeau, the driving monster. He looks more like a long drive contestant who, obviously has a short game to back it up. But At 235 pounds or so and two sizes larger, he just looks off balance to me. I don't get his swing right now.
Yeah, it's totally off balance. It's not a particularly beautiful, what I would call, synchronized sort of swing. It is now a total power swing, but the power he's generating is just unbelievable. Justin Rose was saying after the round yesterday that DeChambeau outdrove him by 40 yards on every hole, and Rose is not a short hitter. The one that where he carried at 327 yards over the corner of the dog leg was amazing to me. Bryson's ball speed was 189 miles an hour yesterday on that tee shot, which is just an incredible ball speed. And I don't know. I'll be interested to hear what Brandel Chambly says today in the pregame about Bryson, because he was pretty critical about Bryson's decision to try and do what he did. Now, having said that, Brandel was critical also about Brooks Koepka and his weight loss. I don't know. I think that, whatever you feel good doing, it just goes to show you, if you have confidence in what you're doing, it's going to work. Think about Tiger Woods. He's been the number one player in the world three different times in his career with three different swings. And every single time, he thought he was doing the right thing. And if Bryson is thinking he's doing the right thing, probably going
to
work.
Exactly. Okay, and this is for everybody out there listening, okay? If you're going to the course, Bryson said, I produce 4,000 spin. It's just that speed and deflection and all that. It's crazy stuff that I would have never expected to happen. He's, of course, reduced his lots of things about his clubs because of the spin that he's creating now. He's had to make an adjustment because the loft is irrelevant. It's really about your launch angle and spin right coming off the ball. The ball speed, pretty much, that's all that matters. So he's almost...
He's got a driver, Danielle. It's 5.5 degrees loft. Think about that. That's almost a flat face. That's the loft of a putter.
Yes.
For a lot of guys. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see with Bryson. There's an age-old argument about the game of golf, and you've been involved in it for nearly as long as I have. Is golf an art, or is it a science? And I have always believed that golf is more of an art than it is a science. But Bryson is trying to prove that that is not the case. Now, the question is, and I think about this week a lot because Father's Day week is always the week of the U.S. Open. In fact, I've never been on Maui this week. I marvel at how light it stays late this time of year because usually I'm at the U.S. Open this week. But the question for me with Bryson is, can he take this scientific formula and transfer that into results when it really counts the most, at the U.S. Open, at the Masters, in the Ryder Cup, in all the places where he's really going to have to perform? It's easier to, I think, transform an art to events that are bigger like that than it is a science.
Interesting. We're going to see a lot of major championship opportunities to watch Bryson and see how it transfers and translates when he is actually playing in those hot positions where you really feel the need to go out. Keith Clearwater was at the bottom of the leaderboard as I was looking, and I went, Keith Clearwater and Jaime Diaz this morning. I didn't know anything about Keith. Apparently 60 and playing this week. Some people criticized him. I didn't know why. He did shoot a 15 over. He missed the cut. But apparently Clearwater was kind of what Bryson is now. He was a weightlifter. His putter failed him, though. So he kind of was into the bodybuilding at the time. Do you remember him?
I do remember him. He won Colonial, and that's why he got an exemption to play this week many, many years ago. And that was back in the days when television was only starting to televise all of the golf holes. When I started as an announcer, we used to start coverage at the 12th green. We were on 2 hours Saturday, Sunday, and that was it. And Keith Clearwater actually won Colonial having teed off the back nine in the morning. So he was over on the front side when he won that tournament. I think it was the first time it had ever happened on the PGA Tour. And not a lot of people actually saw him win. Not at all what we saw on Thursday. It was remarkable to me what we saw 2 days ago at Colonial Danielle. It was the highest rated opening round for that tournament in 19 years. It was the highest rated Thursday on Golf Channel of any live golf since the Players of a couple of years ago. You could tell that the fans were lathered up. They were ready for some live golf, like you said, and the PGA Tour players delivered for them.
Absolutely. Missing the cut, Phil Mickelson, Dustin Johnson, John Rahm. Any thoughts on the three?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised with Rahm. I haven't liked what I saw out of Dustin the last couple of weeks. He didn't play much at all during the break. Neither did John Rahm. I don't know. You know, we just expect Dustin to go out and play well every week. And I don't think, given that he's getting up there in the years now, he's not, you know, one of these young guns anymore. He doesn't have the consistency. I don't think he's driving the ball very well. He drove it terrible at Kapalua this past year. Colonial's the kind of course that really is a second shot course. You just kind of dink it around, get it in play. Don't try to overpower it. And when I look down that list, the one name that I'm not hearing anybody talk about is one you hear from me every time I'm on almost, and that's Colin Morikawa.
Yes.
Who literally is, he's literally, Danielle, one of the best iron players in the game and a perfectly built type player for Colonial. So I say keep your eye on Morikawa this
Okay,
weekend.
64-67. He's tied for fourth at this point as the play continues in the third round or resumes in the starting off today. I'm in Hawaii. Everything is off kilter for me. Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka, what were your thoughts? 268, amazing hole out from the bunker after parring all the holes, his first birdie. That certainly was wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, I think like Johnson, Koepka needs to drive the ball a little better himself.
Okay.
You know, people always kind of lay it on Brooks Koepka's putting when he doesn't do as well as people expect. They say, oh, well, he's only an average putter. I think he's really a pretty good putter, better than most people give him credit for, but he's got to straighten out his driving. Colonial is the kind of course where you don't want to bump into the sides of the holes. It's all the holes are tree lined. There's a bunch of short little holes that are dog leg holes, and you need to figure out how to get the ball in play there. And Koepka's not mentally, you know, structured for that type of play as much as some of the other players are. He's not a Zach Johnson or Jim Furyk
yep.
kind of player.
Yep.
So I think he needs to gear it back a little bit this weekend, get the ball in play. Now, the problem for Koepka right now is not so much, you know, what Harold Varner's target score is, that Harold's 12 under par. So Koepka's got a lot of ground to make up. The problem is he's got a lot of quality players between him and Varner. I'm not sure that this tournament isn't over for Koepka. I'm not sure he can win at this point. I think he's a little too far behind.
Wow. Okay. I've got to stop and really switch gears here on you just a little bit. I want to really say thank you to Commissioner Jay Monahan. That 8:46 tee time that has been left open, a moment of prayer, a moment of reflection, the 8 minutes and 46 seconds, the officer holding his knee to the back of George Floyd's neck, a handcuffed black man dying and pleading for air, pleading for his mom, that vision, that seeing that will never leave my mind. Never leave my mind. It was, I can't imagine the people who were standing there and seeing that happen and pleading with the man, get off of him, get off of him. I mean, that has completely, completely changed the universe. And for the PGA Tour, for the NFL, for all of the people who haven't taken it seriously are now taking it seriously. And as Monahan said, as the PGA Tour commits to amplifying voices and efforts to end systemic issues of racial and social injustices, we have reserved the 8:46 tee time to pause for a moment of silence, prayer, and reflection. And that was really something when the players stopped, bowed their heads, had that moment of reflection. It was followed by three short blasts of the horn. It was perfect. Everything stopped. Everything was quiet. And the only thing I hear that could be heard was the traffic around the golf course. Everything was silent. Tom Lehman, a Minnesota native, said he used the time to pray. I think everybody needs to feel deeply, said Tom Lehman, what happened and to hurt deeply because of what happened to George Floyd. I think everybody needs to understand that when you have an absolute disregard for the suffering or pain of somebody else or the death that you cause on somebody else, if you have no regard for that, you are part of the problem. You need to get your stuff together. I thought that was perfect. And Rory McIlroy, coming from Ireland, where there has been so much strife on a different platform, religion, he said, my hero growing up was Tiger Woods. Tiger doesn't look like me. He has a different upbringing to the one that I had, but he was my hero growing up. And it didn't matter what color his skin was, what his beliefs were. None of that mattered. And that's where we need to be. We need to be in a place of equality. We're all people. We're all human beings. That was
very
perfect.
Well said, Danielle. You know, I have to tell you, I've been living this in the game of golf for a long, long time, many decades. And there's been a number of different occasions throughout my career where there's been a lot of talk about racial injustice and about diversity on the PGA Tour. And frankly, there has not been a lot of action. If you think about it, when I played, there were more African-American players on the PGA Tour than there are today. That is amazing. Think about the world and how it has evolved, and in particular our country, and how the face of our country has changed. And we've been seeing it the last couple of weeks. And the PGA Tour simply has not changed over time as much as it should have. And I'm hoping you're right. I'm hoping that 846 tee time, did something for the players, that all the conversations that we're having now will result in some change. It will result in somebody doing something. I hope so, because, you know, golf has been pretty slow as a game to do that. And I think it's been phenomenal what the PGA Tour has done to take the lead here. I hope the LPGA is able to get going and follow it quickly. Jay Monahan has done a great job, but he's got a war chest of assets way deeper than the LPGA does. And Mike Wan's got a tougher job, but Mike's done a great job too. This is a benchmark point in the life of the PGA Tour and professional golf in general. And I really hope that there's less talk and more action going forward.
You know, some people say, well, how are we going to get people in? You know, well, let's use the first tee. Well, we're already using the first tee. And some I posited on Twitter that we don't have enough places for kids to go. So the first tee is for children. And then as they go into that really dangerous transition period in life between 16 and 20-something, there's no place for them to go. There is no club. There's no teenage clubs. And I think that's really what we need to have, a place where we can transition from the first tee, and then, you know, if you're not going to college, because that's an easy place to then transition, we need to have a place for that in-between group. The LPGA amateurs, there's a, that's the women's EWGA transition. So any woman who wants to be a part of a club and find other golfers. So let's say you've been in the first tee and now you don't know where to go. You're not going to go to college. You're not going to play on a golf team. Who do I play golf with? What am I going to do? I had the first tee directing me. Now I have nothing in between. I don't know anybody at work and you're shifting. We need to create something that bridges between that childhood and becoming an adult. And I mean between 16 and 17 and 22, 25, that area. I think that would be a dynamic, important place for us to fill in the gap. I just think that would be
access
very cool.
Access and affordability is the key,
yes,
Danielle,
yes.
And you're absolutely right. I believe, and you've heard me talk about this a lot, the challenges that the game faces in general are too difficult for the average beginning golfer. It takes too long, and it costs too much. And through this pandemic, we have proven that we can deal with all three of those issues. The rounds of golf are being played much faster now than they were before. The maintenance procedures on some of these courses are likely not going to be what they were before because the courses simply aren't going to afford to, particularly municipal courses and public golf. But you know what? It doesn't need to be that way. And a brown, firm golf course is going to play easier and faster and going to cost people less money to play. That's the way they play in England and Scotland. They have for 400 years over there. And I think we'll start seeing that, hey, we proved to ourselves we can play faster. We can make it more affordable. So let's keep it going now. I hope we don't revert back to sort of pre-COVID pandemic thought processes. We can play faster. We can play cheaper. We can give people more access. The future of golf in this country, without a doubt, is public golf, and we have to start focusing on that. And the island you're on right now is one that we really need to think about. I'm worried about these municipal courses. I'm worried about the lack of tourists helping to subsidize residents' rates. We don't want to let that slip away because we have made a lot of progress there.
Absolutely. Well said. Mark Rolfing, thank you so much for being on the show with me this morning. It's always great talking with you. Mark Rolfing, analyst and commentator, NBC Sports and Golf Channel. Any final thoughts I didn't give you a chance to bring up?
You know, golf is not a spectator sport by nature. So what I would say to everybody, as much as you're going to enjoy watching Colonial on TV this weekend, get out and play. That's what we really need to do. If we want to grow this game and show how strong it is, participate. This is a participant sport, not a spectator sport.
Fabulous. Makalei has a 10:10. Poipupe has a 10:30. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has a 10 o'clock. Bayview, a very affordable course, has an 11 and a 12 o'clock. Wailea has a 10. Oh, excuse me. That's the blue course, 10:20. Emerald course has an 11:10. And at Maui Nui, you could get out and play as well. I'm really pleased to have you on the show. Thank you so much, Mark.
Take care, Daniel.
You too. Aloha. Going to come back and we're going to talk a little golf clubs, some equipment conversations to be had. We have Jonathan Wall. He's the managing editor, equipment editor, Golf Magazine, golf.com. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com. What do you get the father that has everything? Aloha Power Equipment has what he really wants. This week, it's the Father's Day sale, featuring the lowest prices of the year, up to 25% off Shindaiwa and Maruyama. The Honda EE22001 will be doorbuster priced at $949. Aloha Power Equipment Father's Day sale, June 15th through the 20th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. That's Aloha Power. Sales prices at both locations, Sand Island and Waipahu.
We've got a giveaway today, a lesson with Claude Brousseau at the Wailea Golf Academy. That's on the Emerald and Gold courses. This is a $125 value, a lesson with Claude Brousseau at the Wailea Golf Academy, or a one-year subscription to his virtual golf academy, a $90 value. That's for your desktop or your mobile devices. You can have the sound on, or if you're with people, you can turn the sound off. It's got closed captions, so you're not bothering anyone. So give us a call. The number is 808-545-1111 and win.
Does your golf swing have a hitch in it? Want to learn the finer points to play better? Get the fun back in your game with coaching by Master PGA Teaching Professional Claude Brousseau, Director of Instruction at Wailea Golf Academy, a Golf Channel Academy. Claude, a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, you will improve immediately and get fast results. Call Claude at 808-856-9458 or email cbrousseau@waileagolf.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-856-9458. And have fun counting your birdies.
This portion of the Golf Club is brought to you by Creative Plumbing. When your building's hot water system needs new life or a new high-rise system, new build or renovation, call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futuristone's master craftsmen can turn your townhouse complex driveway and sideway into beautiful self-draining areas, adding to the value of your project. Turn your concrete floors into colorful masterpieces with Futuristone. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Let's bring him right in. Jonathan Wall, Managing Editor, EquipmentGolf.com. Welcome in, Jonathan.
Hey, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right. So I was reading online, golf.com, and I saw your article about the way to figure out whether you need new wedges. But I was also looking at the Titleist SM8 Vokey wedges, of course, by Bob Vokey. Performance, precision, they look beautiful. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, Vokey is basically the gold standard when it comes to wedges in professional golf. You know, they have the largest usage week in and week out on the professional tours. I mean, they have some weeks 70-80% of the field in a PGA Tour event is using a Vokey wedge. And that also includes players who aren't under contract with Vokey. And I think those are the ones that I always tell people, if you're going to look and see what product is hot out on tour, look at the players who aren't under contract, the ones who don't have any sort of financial gain there. They're just playing the product because it's best for them. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's best for every recreational golfer, but, you know, I think we as golfers, we look at what the pros are using just to kind of get an idea of maybe what we're going to test. And I think that's a great way to just kind of look and see what's out there and what might be worth testing in the future. And Vokey, obviously, if you're going to be testing wedges, I think they always have to be in the discussion.
Now, what's the low bounce K grind? Is that something that a recreational player should use, or somebody more like Adam Scott and Webb Simpson who are using them?
Yeah, you know, the low bounce wedges, that really was developed strictly for the tour players. And it's really because if you think about the golf course conditions that a tour player is playing on week in and week out, they're typically pretty firm around the greens. And the way that bounce works, without getting too far into the weeds, it kind of helps the way that your club is delivered into the turf at impact. If you go lower bounce, that's typically something that you want to use on, if you're playing on golf courses where it's very firm, that's going to help keep the club from digging. Now, that's a great thing for a Brooks Koepka or Justin Thomas, somebody who's able to manipulate that golf club and really pick it clean off the ground. If you're a mid-handicapper and you struggle with your wedges and you're constantly kind of going between hitting one clean and hitting one fat, you would not benefit from a low-bounce wedge. You're going to spend a lot of time hitting that trailing edge and watching the golf ball fly about as far as your 7-iron. you have a lot more benefit going to a higher-bounce wedge. What that's going to keep it from doing is when you interact with the turf, it's going to keep it from digging. And that's something that a mid-handicapper could certainly benefit from. So, and Bob Vokey says the same thing, bounce is your friend. But again, you know, that's why they make golf clubs for the tour pros, and they make ones for the amateurs. And sometimes some of those tour products end up being brought to market in the retail scene, which is what's happening with this low bounce K grind. It's been very popular out on tour. Usually Vokey gets a lot of interest from retail golfers, and they kind of, you know, gauge that interest, see if it's worth bringing to retail, and that's what they're doing with this one.
Interesting. Now, it comes in 6 different grinds and 3 different finishes. You talk about the finishes when you talk about whether it's time for new wedges. Like, if your wedges aren't working for you anymore, folks, it may be because, you know, things do get older, and use definitely affects. Apparently, tell us about, what is it called, the raw finish? Is that better than another kind of finish?
It's not necessarily better, Danielle. The raw finish, it kind of similar to the low bounce K grind. It's something that started out on the PGA Tour. You know, one of the things that a lot of really good wedge players like is they like a softer feel on their wedges. And one of the ways that you can get that, besides changing the head material, is you can remove the plating. Now, if you were to go look at the wedges in your golf bag, there's a pretty good chance that they have a chrome finish. Now, that chrome finish does one of two things. It's going to help maintain the grooves longer, so it extends the groove life, so you don't have to get wedges on a more regular basis. What it also does as well is it keeps the wedge head from rusting. A raw finish is going to be a little bit more of a patina. It's not going to have as much of a – it's going to be a little bit more glare resistant. But going to a raw wedge is going to have a softer feel. But one of the things that you're missing when you go to a raw finish is it's not going to be able to have that chrome extension for the groove. So you're not going to be able to extend the life as much. That doesn't necessarily mean that – if you use the typical wedge for, you know, 65 or 70 rounds before you replace it with a raw wedge, you're going to have to go 40. It just means that, you know, if you play on golf courses, especially with really high soil contents, a very sandy soil, you know, you're going to have the grooves interacting with that sand a lot more, and it's going to kind of cut into those grooves. It's going to wear them a little bit faster. So, again, tour players don't have to worry about that because they're not paying for wedges. Not necessarily saying that raw is not worth it for an amateur golfer. I have them in the bag and love them. It's just if you buy those wedges, you just kind of need to be mindful that you're probably not going to get as many rounds as a chrome wedge.
Got it. When you just said if you play 70 rounds, it's time to replace your wedges. How do you know that those wedges really do, I mean, other than the fact that the performance is worn out, maybe you don't feel like you're getting it, how can you figure it out?
Well, you know, Vokey in particular, since we're kind of talking about them, they have done studies in the past that have shown that about the, you know, 65, 70, 75 round mark, somewhere in there, golfers will start to notice a little bit of a performance decrease. You know, the performance decrease is that if you're used to hitting little drop and stop pitch shots,
yeah,
you might start to see them release out a little bit more than you normally do. And that just means that the grooves are starting to wear out. And that's when you need to start kind of becoming a little bit more aware of the fact that you might need to go buy a new, you know, if you use your 60 degree a lot, you might have to buy a new 60 degree or your 56. You know, but that kind of seems to be the benchmark, is when you get to that, you know, that 65, 70 round range is when the wedge performance starts to dip. So if you play regularly, you know, 25, 30 rounds a year, you probably can use your wedges about, you know, a year and a half, 2 years before you need to replace. If you don't play that much, you don't have to worry about it. But the one thing that I will say that's important is don't just base it off the rounds that you play. If you are a range rat and you spend a lot of time around the practice green, you have to kind of take that into account when you're counting it as rounds. So a lengthy practice session is going to be the equivalent of maybe a round of golf, maybe even more.
Yeah.
So it's just some things to be mindful of as you're kind of watching your wedges as they start to wear. Because the last thing you want is to think you're going to hit a certain shot and then watch it scoot all the way off the backside of the green. And it's not anything that you're doing. It's just maybe that the grooves on your wedge have worn,
yeah, this,
you know,
is,
worn out.
This is Jonathan Wall, a managing editor, equipmentgolf.com. And if you go to golf.com, you'll find this. The fingernail test? Tell us about the fingernail test.
This is an easy one for golfers to do, and some might say, you know, well, is it really that accurate? Yes, it is. Simply take your fingernail and run it down the face of your wedge. Now, if your fingernail kind of stops every once in a while as you're going through each groove, that means that your grooves have enough life left on them. If your finger starts to basically slide down that face and your nail never really catches any of those grooves, it means that the depth of them has worn out. And that's just, you know, it happens with wedges. So it's probably time to look into getting a new set. Now, the great thing about this is the fingernail test is an easy one. But for the most part, when wedges start to wear out, especially there if you're hitting that middle of the face, you're going to really start to see it wear, and it's going to start to look far different than the rest of the grooves.
Oh, yes.
So at that point, you know that you've really worn it out, and it's time for a new one. But again, if you're not really seeing anything and you still want to check, the fingernail test is always an easy one to just kind of see where the depth of your grooves are.
Far out. You know, we have a lot of morning dew in Hawaii just because of the humidity. And you'll notice the difference, right? You mentioned in your article that water on the grass will really affect how good your wedges are working for you.
It certainly does. And this is one of those, that I've kind of talked with. We work with TruSpec Golf, who TruSpec and Golf Magazine are owned by the same company. It's called 8AM Golf. So it's actually kind of nice because we're able to bounce ideas off them and they're able to kind of give us feedback. And one of the things that Tim Briand, who is the head of fitting over for TruSpec, had mentioned is one of the shots you should really be mindful of, if you start to see a performance dip, it's probably time to look at getting new wedges, is the 40 to 50 yard pitch shot from the rough. Now, not just dry rough, but if it's a little dewy or if it's a little damp and you start to see that golf ball hit and just run right off the green, there is a pretty good chance that that means that your grooves are starting to wear. Now, some golfers are going to say, well, I can't get it to stop anyway. I'm not saying that you have to get it to stop on that shot. It's going to be tough because your ball's wet, the face of your wedge is wet. But today's groove technology is so good that it's really able to displace a lot of that water and debris when you hit those shots. So, again, if you start to see it scooting off the green, there's a pretty good chance that that particular shot means that you might need to look at getting new wedges. And that's just kind of one of those golfers will always say, well, what's the one shot that I need to kind of be mindful of if I don't see it reacting a certain way? And that's the one, that 40 to 50 yarder out of the rough. If it's a little bit dewy, well, after maybe an afternoon rain and you're not seeing it, at least kind of check a little bit before it rolls out. Then that might mean that the groove depth is starting to go.
I'm going to switch to drivers because I got a big question. Does the TaylorMade SimMax driver really correct your misses if you don't hit it in the right spot on the face?
Well, you know, it's interesting. So TaylorMade has their twist face technology. And they did a whole lot of studies that found that golfers typically miss the golf ball in one of two places. It's either going to be the high toe or the low heel. So they simply manipulated the bulge and roll, kind of the curvature of the face, so that for golfers that do miss it in those spots, it helps kind of negate those misses. So you're not going to see as much of that, you know, heavy slice or a really hard hook. It's going to kind of keep it a little bit more in the ballpark for you. But what you're mentioning, there is a driver that they have. It's a draw bias product. It's called the TaylorMade SimMax D. And Keegan Bradley actually used it out on tour this year. It's not a driver that you would typically expect a tour player to use simply because of that draw bias. A lot of tour players don't really like to see that heavy hook. But Keegan actually found that kind of manipulating the loft sleeve on that, he was able to get his normal ball flight and launch. Used it, I believe, for at least two or three tournaments. But it's one of those products. TaylorMade has three drivers. They have a Sim, which is their adjustable product. It has a weight in the bottom that allows you to kind of move the center of gravity so that you can kind of change ball flight. Their Sim Max, which is the driver that Rory McIlroy switched into this week at Colonial, is going to be more of your forgiveness product. It has no adjustability in the bottom of the sole, so you can't move the center of gravity at all. But if you're that kind of golfer, you're looking for ball speed, you're looking for forgiveness. And a lot of tour players really like this because they kind of have more of a neutral center of gravity, so they don't really care so much about that adjustable weight. That's why you see Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, a number of TaylorMade staffers who are using that Max product. Then, as I mentioned, the D, which is the draw bias. So they really do have a driver for everybody. And, you know, it still has that twist face technology. And so far, you know, all their major staffers are playing the new product. So it seems to be working out for them.
Wow. So what are you seeing? I know you're, you know, it's only one person per media outlet during this restart of the PGA Tour. You're the one who told me. What are you seeing when you're watching? Anything interesting pops out watching the Colonial?
You know, I think there are a couple of things. One of them that I actually had, you know, mentioned earlier in the week, Jimmy Walker, he didn't play very well with it. I should probably say that at the outset. But he tried out a steel shafted Titleist driver and 3-wood at Colonial. You had to go back about 8 years. That was the last time that a tour pro used steel in a driver product. Nowadays, everybody uses graphite because the graphite products are so good. There's really no need to use steel. That was a story that I think a lot of people were tracking. Jimmy, I think, was averaging about 330 yards with the driver, which is pretty good for steel. But I think his accuracy was one of the things that he was really struggling with. I would be surprised if he probably uses it for another tournament. Maybe he does. The other one, as I also mentioned, Rory McIlroy switching from TaylorMade's Sim to the Sim Max. So he's going to get a little bit more forgiveness. I also heard he was looking to try and get a touch more spin. And that's something that, having Tiger Woods on staff with TaylorMade, a lot of the younger guys, and I say younger, Rory's not a young pup anymore, but he's still a young guy to me. Some of those guys have really started to lean on Tiger for advice. And one of the things that Tiger always says is spin is your friend. You know, we got to a point with pro golfers where they wanted to have those low spin drivers that just rocketed down the fairway and rolled out. I think they're starting to see now that spin can be your friend. It can help you be a bit more accurate. Guys are so long now on tour that they really don't need to get all that distance out there. I know Bryson DeChambeau's chasing distance right now, but
yes,
we're seeing some guys like Rory who are finding that maybe adding a touch more spin is going to help them in the accuracy department. And at the end of the day, that's probably a good thing for them.
Something else I found at golf.com that was just great. It was the coronavirus golf hole inventions. And, there was the pool noodle and the inverted hole. I can't imagine coming across the inverted hole thing, that, banging your ball up against there. But I hope the easy lift, wow, that you use your club head to activate this little mechanism that brings your ball out of the hole up to the surface, and there you go. You don't bend over at all. It's it's kind of the lazy person's way of getting their ball, but it's kind of cool, isn't it?
I wonder how many of these devices stay in play even after everything kind of goes back to whatever the new normal is. I think it's the one thing that I love about this, Danielle, trying to look at the silver lining is all of the people that have found ways to still make golf fun. This is what everybody wants to go out and play. There were a lot of questions about how can we play, and there were a lot of brilliant people out there just with some very simple ideas of ways to still make the round enjoyable and to not constantly feel like you're having to wonder about, okay, who touched the flagstick last? Or, what do I have to do to make sure that I don't get any other germs as I'm playing around a golf? I love it. The only unfortunate thing, the inverted hole, I have to say I've seen some photos of some people where their ball is literally resting right next to the edge of the inverted hole, and it's on a par 3. And there have been lots of questions about, is it a hole in one?
Yeah.
That would really just bother the heck out of me is constantly wondering, am I going to be one of those guys who has their golf ball literally roll up and rest against the inverted hole?
No.
So, I don't think that one's going to be around for very long, but maybe some of the other ones, having the piece of pool noodle inside the cup,
yes,
I think is a great one.
Yes.
Other ways to just pick the ball out. I love them. And I think that's just a lot of people with some great ideas and that they're bringing them out there and golfers are able to go out and have fun.
Yeah. Is it the end of the bunker since we can't use rakes?
I hope not, because I've seen Bigfoot has been playing golf in front of me a couple of times, I have to say. So I hope rakes are coming back at some point, or people need to learn how to use their foot to kind of smooth out the sand a little bit better, because it's been pretty bad a couple of times.
Jonathan Wall, Managing Editor, EquipmentGolf.com. Thank you again. So much fun talking with you. Very interesting.
Hey, thanks again, Danielle. I'll appreciate it.
Thank you. Aloha. We're going to come back. Keith Hirschlin. Okay, he's an Emmy Award-winning sports television producer. And that's, live action. And now he's writing these really cool novels. The latest one is Murphy. Yeah, first name is Murphy and the last name is Murphy. We'll be back right after this with Keith. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club. It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
And just remember, for Father's Day, Bayview has this fabulous opportunity for you to take the kid with you and dad or granddad or great-granddad going to play a round of golf at Bayview. Child is free. That's Bayview for Father's Day.
What do you get the father that has everything? Aloha Power Equipment has what he really wants. This week, it's the Father's Day sale, featuring the lowest prices of the year, up to 25% off Shindaiwa and Maruyama. The Honda EE22001 will be doorbuster priced at $949. Aloha Power Equipment Father's Day sale, June 15th through the 20th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. That's Aloha Power. Sales prices at both locations, Sand Island and Waipahu.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome into the clubhouse, Keith Hirschland, author, Emmy Award-winning sports television producer, producing live tournament action. One of the first 40 people to be hired at Golf Channel. Not going to say what year, of course. Now he's an author. The first was Cover Me, Boys, I'm Going In. The next was Big Flies, followed by The Flower Girl Murder. You getting the idea? These are mysteries. And this next one is Murphy Murphy. And it's a mystery and a comedy. A little comedy in it. Hi, Keith.
Hi, Danielle. Gosh, the way you introduced me, it sounds like I've accomplished something in my life.
Yeah, you have, okay? Yes, you have. I'm just having so much fun reading Murphy Murphy, and I got to say that I came across Judith Coleman.
Yes.
Was the name inspired by someone we all might know?
It was actually a number of names in Murphy Murphy. In the case of Serious Crisis, had been spawned by folks that I know, that we know, that that the golf world may know a little bit. I've been very lucky in the course of my writing career that the friends that I have made along the way and the colleagues and the great folks that I've gotten a chance to work with have remained friends and have been kind enough when I ask them, is it okay if I name a character in my next novel after you? They have so far, with the exception of one or two folks, have always said yes. And they, in a weird way, they always want to be a bad guy. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that. But luckily, they've always said yes. And by the way, this is my first... And the next one now, and I'm contemplating a Danielle Tucker character, if that's okay with you.
Of course. Yes, and I really need to be the bad guy. It hadn't occurred to me for somebody to want to be the evil person in the,
right?
in the you know, murder mystery, you know. Wow. But when you said Judith Coleman, and she has a smile... And you got her. I mean, so well. And I don't know her that well, but I just felt like, God, I see Judith Coleman just like this in my mind's eye. It was wonderful. Let me just read this from Jersey Girl Book Reviews. Author Keith Hirschland provides a multi-layered storyline that has enough mystery, suspense, drama, treachery, secrets, and intriguing twists and turns that keeps the reader guessing while weaving an intricate and complicated web of what the motive of the murders could have been and the spectrum of possible participants who could have been involved in committing them. And if that isn't enough to captivate the reader, the author adds a wonderful touch of humor and a bit of romance into the mix to keep them entertained.
Wow.
God, that sums
it
up.
Nice.
I'm like, yes. You know, and the beginning I was reading, I'm going, okay, look at the way the titles of your chapters, and we're continuing to continue.
Right. You know, it's funny, when I first contemplated the idea of this book, one of the things that in my previous life as a producer that used to drive me crazy was when my announcers used redundant phrases in their commentary. And, you know, we'd have a little, you know, coffee can or a jar and in the truck, and if somebody committed that sin, in my view, it was, you know, a dollar into the tip jar that we used to help pay for dinner that night or something. But I was thinking, you know, as I had this idea, my idea for this book was, could I write an entire novel built around redundancies and redundant phrases? And that's why the title character is a redundant name, Murphy. You know, I thought about David, or Grace, or Abraham, but came across Murphy and fell in love with it. The case of serious crisis, which serious crisis is also a redundant phrase. If it's a crisis, of course it's serious. And throughout the course of the book, I think I incorporated somewhere around the neighborhood of 150 redundancies. And I have to tell you, I have never had more fun writing anything in my entire life. And I am so thrilled that the folks who have reached out to me, who have read the book and who are reading the book, feel the same way, that it tickles their funny bone. And that's what I was after.
And Murphy is tortured in this book by a character who only speaks in redundancies. It's like that. It's really marvelous. You flesh out very nicely these people that we're getting to know as we go through the book. And what in the murder parts? You know, when where do you get some of the inspiration for the type of murder?
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. I'm a big murder mystery fan. That's what I guess if there was one genre of story that I enjoy reading more than anything else, it's, you know, Michael Connelly or David Baldacci or you know, Nelson DeMille, kind of, you know, that incorporate those kind of stories. So, I enjoy reading them. So I guess it's natural that, you know, that's where my writing tendencies would go. There are murders in the first couple, Big Flies and the Flower Girl murder, obviously, you know, and Murphy, I don't think I killed anybody.
But it's just
it's not that I didn't think about it, but,
well, you know, it's intriguing. It's just very intriguing. Yeah. Yes. As you weave everything around, can we, I was following on Twitter, with the, you know, golf being back and everything, I'm sure you're watching just a little bit. Wouldn't you say?
I am watching. I was very, very curious to see what the folks would do. I was lucky enough, obviously, as you stated earlier, to work in the business for more than 20 years and at Golf Channel for 18 of those years. And you know, my colleagues are still, a number of friends and colleagues are still in that business. I enjoyed listening to Mark on your show. I have to say, just as an aside, I love your show because I always learn so much. And, you know, the equipment talk was fascinating. I always love listening to Mark Rolfing. And he always has so much to say, and I'm looking forward to Bob coming up. But, the folks that I had worked with in the past were part of the match that the Mickelson, Tiger, Brady, Peyton Manning thing. Brian Anderson was my announcer at Golf Channel for 5 years, and Steve Byam, who directed the match, is one of my closest friends and one of my mentors in this business. And then all the folks now that are at Golf Channel and CBS, we were colleagues and friends for years and years and years. And I was really excited about golf coming back and really curious to see, you know, kind of what this new coverage model would look like. And, I've been leery of the microphone thing because it was something that we did 15, 20 years ago. I mean, mm-hmm. we put mics on players, mm-hmm. you know, we put heart rate monitors on players. We ask them to be guinea pigs on all kinds of technological weirdness. And I found that it wasn't, you know, as long as the announcers could stop talking, we could hear everything pretty much with the directional mics that were out on the golf course, and we really didn't need the microphones on the players. But I thought there were some great moments with Ricky wearing the microphone. He didn't play very well, so I'm not sure he'll wear it again. But, it's interesting. It's interesting to see Don Olmeyer, who was a great television guy, you know, once said that, you know, there are no new ideas in television. There are only new ways to present old ideas. Mm. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in the future with golf on TV.
Well, it's a reduced crew from what I hear. Because,
yeah.
You're right. So I was thinking they don't have as many camera operators on site, and they're doing a really good job. When we talk about fans being in a tournament setting, they create a very important eye and mind distraction. So if something isn't compelling in the moment yet, there's this distraction of all those people milling about. So it creates a larger setting. And when there's nothing out there except for a couple of guys and a beautiful golf course, that's really tough. And to have fewer cameras operating makes it even harder. So I was thinking that, all things considered, this is looking really good. And the quality of play, of course, has been exceptional. I don't think I expected them. I know Mark didn't expect them to be playing as well as they are. So I think it's really good. Kudos to the whole crew.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think they're doing a fabulous job. And you mentioned, you know, the crowds. Crowds were always great places for, for TV crews to hide, too. And there's none of that anymore either. Everybody's kind of out there in the open. And it also, the crowds, you know, it helped create an excitement and an energy inside the truck. You know, the roar, we fed off those roars too, just like the players did. So, you know, I'd be interested to see what life is like inside the TV production truck these days when there isn't that, you know, that on course energy that we used to be able to feed off of. Now, you know, you've got to kind of, you know, make sure that your stamina, your energy, your creativity, all that stuff is self generated. So, I agree with you 100%. I mean, these guys, not only are the players the best in the world, these TV guys are, I mean, the job that they do, the professionals that are out there behind the cameras, behind the microphones, are just, I have so much respect for all of them. And, you know, it is not an easy job. And they just continually impress me day in, day out, week in, week out.
Got to ask you a question, Keith Hirschland, author of so many wonderful books, Cover Me Boys, I'm Going In, Big Flies, The Flower Girl Murder, and now Murphy, all available at Amazon. Should the Ryder Cup be played without fans?
Gosh, my gut, just this is top of my head, gut reaction, I would say no. And this is, you know, without a crystal ball and not knowing, and I realize all the dominoes that are going to fall if they postpone it a year. Then they have to postpone the Solheim Cup. They have to see who knows what they're going to do about a President's Cup. I mean, all that stuff, all those dominoes fall. But I think the Ryder Cup is just such a spectacle that playing it without fans would just seem just to minimize it to the point where I don't think it would be the same event. And I think they can, there's nothing, you know, they postponed it before, they postponed it for 9/11. That whole schedule shifted once that happened, you know, so there is a precedent. I think it would be, and as a fan, I would enjoy it much more if they were able to have fans. But again, without a crystal ball, who knows if they'll be able to have fans in 2021. Nobody knows. You know, I mean, we're looking forward to the Olympics in Tokyo, hoping that they happen in 2021.
Yep.
You know, I don't know. But as a gut reaction as a fan, as a TV person, as all of those things combined, as a golf person who loves to play golf, I would prefer that they just not play it this year and wait.
Yeah, I understand. It's barren.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the golf is fabulous, but again, you know, the whole spectacle, as you said, it's that's part of it. It's just all part of it. And if whether you like some of the rowdy people out there or not, we don't like the rowdy people. I don't like the rude people. Sure, but that's not the predominant number of people. They're not the ones that the people who are there, who are cheering, who are into it, who are behind their people, that's, I was about their country. Of course, there's so many countries on the European side.
Right.
And so, I feel the same way. And yet I also wonder, well, how is the European tour going to make money? And it's
I know.
Whew,
I know.
There's so much going on. So, Keith Hirschlin, author, Emmy Award-winning sports television producer. And now you really need to get Murphy because you start reading it and you go, okay, where is this going? And then you've got to turn the page. And then you've got to turn the page. And that's how it's been for me. I just always have to turn the page. And the more I turn the page, the more I get deep into it. It's like they say, a multi-layered storyline that has enough mystery, suspense, drama, treachery, secrets, and intriguing twists and turns that keeps the reader guessing, while weaving an intricate and complicated web of what the motive of the murders could have been. It's called Murphy. It's by Keith Hirschlin, and just go to Amazon. Is there a place where you'd like them to buy it?
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, and I know that you can go on Beacon Publishing's website, Beacon, BEACON, publishing.com, and they have a link through Murphy, where you can order it through if you have a favorite local bookstore.
Oh,
so if you don't
want
to go to Amazon,
yes,
you don't
want
to shop at Barnes & Noble, and you have a favorite local bookstore in your town or city, at beaconpublishing.com, there's a link to Murphy, and it'll show you down at the bottom of the page how to click on and order it from your local bookstore, which is really cool.
That is very cool. Keep it local. Support our local bookstores. Thank you very much, Keith. Awesome. Thank you.
It's always my pleasure, Danielle. Thank you for being so kind, and you do such a great job. I am at your service anytime you like.
Thank you. I'm blushing, okay? Okay. Aloha.
Have a great day.
Okay, we're going to come back, and Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN, he's going to be with us. He's going to be going to the RBC Heritage. So while we're watching the final days of our first at Colonial, we're going to look a little bit at Colonial and a little bit ahead at RBC Heritage right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com. What do you get the father that has everything? Aloha Power Equipment has what he really wants. This week, it's the Father's Day sale, featuring the lowest prices of the year, up to 25% off Shindaiwa and Maruyama. The Honda EE22001 will be doorbuster priced at $949. Aloha Power Equipment Father's Day Sale, June 15th through the 20th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. That's Aloha Power. Sales prices at both locations, Sand Island and Waipahu.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction. The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
We are KPUA Hilo, KORLYNI, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, ESPN. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hey, good morning. Thank you.
You were watching Harold Varner III, Justin Rose, Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, I'm looking at all the people right now tied for second. And I've just mentioned all of them except Harold's at the top of the leaderboard. Is this incredible?
Yeah, it's great. It's exactly what golf needs right now. A great field to begin with. You know, all these big names are all itching to play, and it's nice when they all play well too. Give people who don't know anybody else some names to recognize, and also it's good to see some of the top players. Their games are already in form despite this long layoff.
Yeah, that's what was most intriguing, is that they're not as rusty. Oh, Dustin had a bad round, but he hasn't really been up to form, it seems, when we were watching him recently in one of the exhibitions. So I wasn't too surprised, but I thought somehow the competition would get him going, you know?
Right, yeah, he didn't look too good in that match a few weeks ago when he played with Rory and Ricky Fowler. Fowler missed the cut, though, too. And, you know, those guys live in Florida. They've been able to play a lot. So, but I'm not sure Colonial's a great golf course for Dustin Johnson. So it could be partly due to that. Not everybody's going to have it. The golf course is set up seemingly fairly mild. It's allowing for scoring. So if you're a little bit off, if you're not putting well, you're going to get lapped. You know, two under par was the cut, a lot of low scores, but it's good. It's exactly how it should be. I think we want to see them make birdies. We want to see guys shooting good scores. We don't want to be frustrated in the first event back out.
How hard is it for someone to dial it back if you're accustomed to just hitting it off the tee, using that full swing with your driver, and now you've got all these trees to deal with?
Well, that's the beauty of a course like this. Colonial, you know, has withstood the test of time because it's not about length there. It's about dog legs and placing your tee shots and, you know, hitting cuts and draws and being in position. If you hit driver on every hole for these guys, that's not going to work. You know, and so it requires an adjustment. It's like going from grass to clay in tennis. You know, you have to play differently. It's one of the reasons Tiger always stayed away. It didn't really suit his game. And yet now, at this point in his career, it'd be great for him because he's so good with his irons.
One would think.
But yeah, exactly. And actually, Hilton Head would have been good for him too, the same styles, you know, more strategy off the tees as opposed to bombing it. But Rory is one of the longest hitters in the game. He's up there. Bryson DeChambeau's hitting it far now. He's up there. So, you know, it doesn't mean that it thwarts them, but it certainly makes them think a little bit differently than they normally might.
Yeah, and it's good seeing Jordan Spieth performing so well and not taking it out on Michael or himself if something goes wrong.
Yeah, you know, the break was probably good for Spieth. He had fallen out of the top 50 in the world. He's coming up on 3 years without a win. Lots of chatter about his game and having fallen off so far. So, it obviously, this the reasons for the break were not good, but I think he's taken advantage of it. Now, he's won at Colonial before. It's a good golf course for him. Today's big. You know, in the last couple of years, when he has struggled, Saturdays have not been good for him. He's been in contention a bunch of times and had bad third rounds. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles today. But certainly would be great for him to get back up there and win again. It's hard to believe he hasn't won since the Open in 2017. And in the meantime, he's had a lot of struggles, a lot of frustrations with all parts of his game.
Yeah, I think what we're really lucky with is the fact that not only did this amazing field turn up for Colonial, they're all going to go back to the RBC Heritage. They're all just, it's like the circus is moving right along. The top five continue their play with Rory McIlroy, John Rahm gets another chance, Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson. They're all going to the RBC Heritage.
Yeah, and I think it's like 7 of the top 10 and 15 or 16 of the top 20 and, you know, 70-some of the top 100. I mean, these are fields that these tournaments would normally not get. The Colonials, usually now it's the week after the PGA Championship in what was the schedule, which is not a great week. And the Heritage at Hilton Head follows the Masters every year. You know, so a lot of guys are decompressing that week and don't go to Hilton Head. This year, they're almost all going. It's great. It's a shame these tournaments can't have spectators because there's such a big draw of big names at these events. And I think to your point about the great fields, it just shows these guys want to get back to playing, and they know that there's a lot of time that they've lost, and I think they're going to try to make up for it here.
The spectators and the sponsors, they generate a lot of money for the charities. I heard that the PGA Tour was going to try to compensate without the spectators being there, without some of the, the big tents that the corporations put up. Has anything come of that?
They haven't said exactly. They've sort of hinted that they will be helping out these events. I mean, obviously, these tournaments, all their money locally is made through ticket sales, pro-am spots, local corporate hospitality, concessions, and parking. And so they have none of that. You know, they're putting on these events basically at a loss because all the TV money and the sponsorship money from Charles Schwab, in this case, RBC next week, that pretty much all goes to the purse. And also, some of it has to go back to the networks to cover production costs through advertising. There's not a whole lot left over for the tournament. So the tournaments do all their work on the ground. They sell tickets, pro-am spots. I mean, pro-am spots, the pro-ams make about $1 million.
Yeah.
You know, so to not have that, look at what they're losing out on. So clearly the tour has to try to help them out somehow. How they're going to get to that point is unknown. But, you know, they've lost 13 weeks of events. So the tour itself has taken a huge hit financially. You know, they pocket a good bit of money every week that they play. That's how they operate. That's how they run the tour. They've gone 13 weeks without it. And, and it's why they want to get back. It's really remarkable that they are. When they first announced this 2 months ago, there was a lot of skeptics. There was a lot of doubts that we'd be starting up this week. And here we are. And so far, everything's going pretty well.
Yeah, and the testing worked out beautifully. Everyone was tested, and everyone tested negative. It was wonderful. Yeah. It was perfect. Perfect. Well, it would have been perfect if Tiger had decided to show up. And a lot of speculation has been since he took out his yacht. And everybody thinks he's going to be at RBC Heritage. And his yacht apparently sailed right by.
The greatest troll ever. His yacht was headed to Sea Island, Georgia. It's amazing that there are ways to track these things, and people were doing that. The boat was on the move, and so it made sense. It was one of the reasons I think there was a good thought that he might play at Hilton Head. It's an hour and a half flight on his plane, stay on his yacht, docked right there in the harbor at Hilton Head. Pretty easy.
Yeah.
And get to play an event with no spectators, which for him is a big deal at this point. It's going to be a challenge when he's probably going to come back at the Memorial, which is supposed to be the first event with spectators. How that's going to work is going to be really interesting. I would have thought he wanted to get one under his belt before then, simply because he hasn't played since February. He looked really good at that match a few weeks ago.
Yes, he did.
You know, his game, he looked great off the tee. He looked like he was healthy. But, for years and years, Tiger has not followed what our logic suggests. And while it makes sense that you would think he'd play, he's always sort of had the mindset, look, I'll get ready on my own, and I'll be ready to go, and he will not use it as an excuse if he doesn't play well. And I just go back to Japan last year. He hadn't played for 2.5 months. He had knee surgery. Everybody thought this is going to be ugly, or, middle of the pack finish, and he wins.
Right.
And so Tiger thinks about those things, and that's how he's approaching this. It's also going to be hectic once he does start up, and I think he wants to, save some swing, save some wear and tear, because if everything does get played, there's the Memorial, PGA Championship, possibly a World Golf event in Memphis. Not sure if he'll do that one or not. Then the FedEx Playoffs, does he play all three? Does he play two of the three? 2 weeks after the Tour Championship is the U.S. Open. The Ryder Cup's the next week. There's the potential for a lot of golf there, and I'm guessing he wants to sort of take it slow and not overdo it.
I totally understand that part. I'm asking myself, okay, we've got between the Memorial and the Travelers, or in between, there's 1 week that's open, and there was talk about filling the open weeks with something. Has that been given up?
Yeah, right. After the event in Detroit, actually, it goes Hilton Head next week, then Hartford, the Travelers, then Detroit for the Rocket Mortgage. And then it was supposed to be the John Deere the week before the Memorial, but they decided not to play. They didn't feel they could do it financially with no spectators. So the tour has scrambled, and they're putting an event in Columbus at Muirfield Village, same course, the week before the Memorial. So there'll be 2 weeks, two tournaments back-to-back at Muirfield Village in Columbus, which is actually great because it limits the moving around.
Yeah.
It helps with all the issues that we have to face in the world right now. That's actually a good thing. They can anchor there. I suppose there's a chance Tiger plays that first event, the one with no spectators, and then just sticks around and plays the Memorial. That actually wouldn't be a bad idea if he felt fit to play 2 weeks in a row. He obviously knows that course really well. He's won there 5 times. So that would be a good thing if he decided to do that. And then there'd be a couple weeks off before the PGA Championship. Obviously, those are the events he's really looking towards these days. And then another couple weeks off, and then Boston, Chicago, Atlanta for the playoffs. Does he play them all? Does he skip one? So he's, it's going to get busy for him there at that point. And hopefully he's able to stay healthy and go at it. The weather will be warm, which is really good for him. Heat is his friend. And so that's, he'll be back soon enough, and it'll be great when he is.
Well, you're on your way to RBC Heritage. Are you tested already? Do you test there? How does this work?
Yeah, I'll be honest. It's one of the things that's a little puzzling is that they're not testing the media.
Oh.
You know, and they're not including us in that. And, you know, I hope they get to the point where they do, because it sort of leaves us hanging out on an island there.
Yeah.
You know, I was tested this week. I just felt like I should do that before I go. You know, I'd be happy. I know that all of us would pay for it. Forget it. You have us pay for it. I'm not quite sure why they aren't including us in that. They've got this company they've contracted with to follow them around and administer these tests. But they're not testing everyone on site. Like they did 477 this past week, and there's like 900 to 1,000 people there. You know, even with no fans, that's how many people are still there. All the TV people for CBS and their crew and Golf Channel, even though they've cut their numbers like in half, there still has to be volunteers, rules officials, shot link for the stats. You know, they have a full crew there. So I don't know who among them got tested, or, you know, a smattering of them. But obviously it would be much better if everybody was. And possibly they'll get to the point where they're going to do that as more tests become available, as it becomes easier. But for now, obviously, you got to test the players and the caddies, and they're sort of trusting them to do the right thing. The guys who are going on the charter to Hilton Head on Monday, they were all going to be tested again today. And so if they test positive, they're not getting on the plane, you know. And so I think they're doing as best they can with the system and the challenges they face.
It's awesome. Bob Herrig taking us inside, senior golf writer for ESPN.com. Thanks so much for being on the show. And, of course, we'll be following you on Twitter, Bob Herrig, and, of course, at ESPN. Go to the golf. You'll see all of his articles. Excellent writing. Thank you so much, Bob Herrig.
Thanks for having me. Have a good one.
You too. Aloha. All right, we're going to thank the people over here who make this show possible. And Cindy over at Pukalani on Maui, congratulations. You're our winner. You're going to take a lesson with, yes, Claude Brousseau, one of the best in the business, our master PGA master professional. And it's going to be Father's Day soon, right? So let's see. What do you get for the father who has everything? Aloha Power Equipment has what he really wants. Okay, this week is Aloha Power Equipment's Father Day sale. The lowest prices of the year, up to 25% off Shindaiwa, Maruyama, and the Honda EU2200i will be the doorbuster with $949. Aloha Power Equipment's Father's Day sale. It's June 15th to the 20th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it, whatever you need done, Aloha Power Equipment has it. Sale prices at both locations, Sand Island and, of course, Waipahu. And also for Father's Day, you, of course, can go over to the Bayview Golf Course and play a round of golf. And there's nothing finer than my memory on Kauai of watching a grandpa with three of his grandkids on a golf cart as they're moving through and just having the time of their lives. If you're going to go, whether it's a dad or a grandpa, great-grandpa, Father's Day, adult, of course, pays, but it's the best deal in golf at Bayview Golf Course, and the child is free. So make your reservations for Bayview Golf Course, the best value in golf in Kaneohe, just a few lights past the Likelike Kaneohe Bay Drive intersection. All of the COVID-19 precautions as prescribed by the PGA of America under the guidance of the CDC, approved by the state and city and county, all in place. Social distancing, wiping down the touch screens, cleaning out the golf carts, disinfectants, just like the pros. And there's a foam in the hole to keep the ball up in the cup, the noodle. No moving of the flagstick and lots of room between tee times. Bayview is also an excellent walking course, particularly that front nine, so you can get some really good exercise. And then the back nine, incredible views of Bayview. Okay, COVID-19 ready. Oahu Extraction, here to help you with your flooding and mitigation needs. So when it floods or it sneaks in and dripping from the upstairs, they don't even know it's happening. Call Oahu Extraction for your peace of mind. See what's inside the walls. Maybe it's been there growing mold, and Oahu Extraction can use their hydrometer and let you know. Aloha Power Equipment has what you need for Father's Day. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club. Thank you for your mana.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2020.